It is not an accident. I don't think there's anybody here tonight who just stumbled in. I think everybody here is here because you intended to be here. And for the most part, that wasn't the decision that you made tonight. It was a decision you made a long time ago. I want to talk about that for a few moments tonight, about the fact that a life of godliness is a life that you have to make up your mind that's what you want to do and stick to it. It's the kind of thing that is missing generally in the world. The commitment to something that is rock solid, that is at the core of who a person is. We live in a world that's ever-changing, where people's commitments, they're fairly transitory. But as Christians, as children of God, we have to decide, hey, this is who I am. And we have to stick to it. There's just a series of passages I want to talk about with respect to making up your mind. That's an emoji. Do you know what an emoji is? That's an emoji, yeah. It says you're thinking about it. I'm thinking about it. Or that's interesting, or I don't know what to make of that. But for those of us who are Christians, we're not supposed to be in a thinking about it mode. We're supposed to be in a mode of, I've made up my mind. I want to start with this passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 14. This passage talks about Rehoboam. Now, Rehoboam was the king of Judah after Solomon, and he wasn't a particularly good king. In fact, the assessment of his reign and his life was that he was evil, or that he was not a good king. He wasn't nearly as bad as a lot of the ones that came on later. But the way that his mediocrity, his failure is described is this way here in 2 Chronicles 12:14. It says, he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. There's a lot of passages in the Bible that talks about setting your heart. And I think it expresses pretty well what I'm talking about. What does it mean to set your heart? Well, it's a deliberate decision that's made, right? That you say to yourself more than anything else that this is what I want to do with my life. And in this case, it's a decision, a deliberate decision to seek the Lord. And that's exactly the way it has to be. It implies a process of learning, of growth, of following. Okay, when you seek someone, you know, when you're looking for someone, you don't necessarily have them in your life right away, or you don't see them right away, or you don't know where they're at, but you're looking for them. You're going to seek them. And you're going to look for the signs, and you're going to read the messages, and you're going to follow a trail until you get there. And you're going to keep on seeking until you find them. Well, it's not that God is hiding so much as we are. You know, we are separated from the Lord by our ignorance and our stubbornness and our willfulness. And we have to make up our minds that that's going to change. And we're going to find out what the Lord wants us to do. And His will is going to be preeminent in our life. And we're going to do what it takes to make that happen. We're going to seek out the Lord. We're going to find Him. And we're going to find His will, and we're going to practice that will. And if you don't do that, if you don't set your heart, make up your mind, and follow that deliberate path, the default position that's going to occur in your life is you're going to be evil. That's what's going to happen. You're not going to be right with God. unless you decide that that's what you want and that's what you're going to pursue. You've got to make up your mind. And there's most people in the world are not evil because they made up their minds that they wanted to be evil. They decided to be evil. They're not right with the Lord because they didn't choose to be right with the Lord. That's what they didn't choose. They didn't choose to be wrong. They didn't choose to be evil. They just are because they did not choose to be right with God. And as Christians, as children of God, we have to be better than that. We have to make a deliberate, foundational decision in our life. I'm going to seek God. In my life, that's what I'm going to do. Otherwise, we're going to be like Rehoboam. Here's another passage, Ezra chapter 7, verse 10. Ezra is one of the returnees from captivity. And I got to tell you, if you do some study of biblical history, you find out that Ezra, that he was responsible, perhaps more than anybody else, in securing the Old Testament and making sure that it survived, that all of the books of the Old Testament were recorded and copied and preserved and transmitted to future generations. Not saying that he did that by himself, and certainly he did it with God's help. And God, if he didn't do it, somebody else would have done it because God would have seen to it. But Ezra was the one who stepped up, and he made sure that it happened. And it says about Ezra in Ezra chapter 7, verse 10, Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach his statutes and rules in Israel. At a crucial juncture in the history of God's people, when they had spent 70 years in captivity and had been largely disconnected from the law and from the observances of the law and from the temple and from the sacrificial system, here is a man who made up his mind, I'm going to fix that. Again, I'm not saying he did that without God's help. Obviously, God was providentially and inspirationally directing Ezra in this. But Ezra was the one that God used because Ezra was the one who determined that he was going to be that person. You're not going to learn the law of God unless you decide you're going to learn the law of God. And you're not going to teach the law of God unless you decide that's what you're going to do. And you just think about the years of effort Ezra must have put into that, of learning the scripture, learning the law, of writing and recording and collecting and copying and making sure that the copies survived and making sure that the people were taught. What a great man. Doesn't get his due a lot of times. A lot of people don't get their due. Except we all get our due from God. And God will, he will reward those who step up and say, this is who I'm going to be. I am going to be a student of the law of God. I'm going to learn it. And I'm going to learn it so well that I can explain it and teach it to other people. And it's important that outsiders and insiders and everybody else have somebody that they can go to and talk to and ask and somebody who can teach. Now, you know, I decided a long time ago as a young man, I said, you know what? I can do this. I have an ability to do it. This is what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to learn the law of God, and I'm going to teach people the law of God. And I'm not particularly good at it, and I'm not bragging. I'm not boastful. I'm not saying that I'm like Ezra even, but I'm saying that it takes people making those kinds of decisions. And to a certain degree, we all need to be Ezra. We all need to be people who say, you know what? I'm going to learn the law of God. I'm going to set my mind and my heart to this task. And it's important. It's important that we do that. It's not going to happen by accident. Here's another passage, Psalm 17, verse 3. You have tested my heart. You have examined me at night. You have tried me and found nothing. I have determined that my mouth will not sin. We talked about this this morning in our Bible class on Ephesians chapter 4 about let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. It has to be a very deliberate decision. I mean, when I was dating a girl in Kentucky a few years back, and there was five daughters, and I was dating the second one. But they had a little girl. I think she was about 7, 8, something like that. And every night that I would go over there and eat at the dinner table, they would sit around the table, and they would all talk. Everybody was talking. And every once in a while, the little girl would pipe up and begin to say something. And inevitably, someone around the table would say, "There's no telling what she's about to say." liable to say anything. Well, that can't be true of us as children of God. We can't be people who just would say anything. We have to be very deliberate and careful about what we're going to say. Because if you're not, chances are, in fact, it's almost certain that you're going to say things you ought not to say. And so the psalmist is saying, you know what? I set my heart to make sure that the things that come out of my mouth are right and good. And we live in a world in which people are not careful at all about what they say. And they say all kinds of awful and terrible things. We need to be careful. You know, we're living in a period of time in which people are fussing and fuming and fighting about this text or what that person said, or did you hear what that person said? Well, you know, we have to be people who are careful. And we say what is good and wholesome and upbuilding and right. I have determined that my mouth will not sin. Psalm 119 and verse 112, I am resolved to obey your statutes to the very end. And that expresses very well the idea of the terms of the commitment. A lot of times you sign a contract, right? And the contract has a term of time for the longevity, the period in which the contract is enforced. And you're committing yourself, and you're signing at the bottom line, and you're saying, until this date, I will do such and such, or I will pay so and so, and until that date, I'm committing myself. Well, what's the expiration date on a Christian life? How long are you committing yourself to serving the Lord? You're committing yourself to do what He says to the end. As long as this life lasts, as long as breath is in, I'm going to serve the Lord. That is my commitment. And unfortunately, for very all too often, for far too many of our brothers and sisters, that commitment is not kept. Every congregation has people who come and go, and some who fall away and who are lost, and it's a tragedy. Don't let that be you. You make a commitment that you're going to do the will of God to the end. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 is a marvelous example of somebody who made up his mind, and in very difficult circumstances. As a young man taken away into captivity to Babylon, he was being trained to be a servant of the king in the court of the king. And so certain foods were prescribed or allotted for his upkeep. And some of those foods were not acceptable under the law of Moses. And so Daniel had a decision to make about whether to eat this food or not eat this food. And I tell you what, Daniel didn't wake up every day and decide whether he was going to eat the food or not. He didn't wait till the food was served to decide whether he was going to eat or not. As the passage says, he made up his mind he wasn't going to do it. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 says, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. He just decided, I'm not going to do it. Now, at the point that Daniel decided that, he didn't know whether it was going to work out or not. He didn't know whether he was going to survive or not. He didn't know whether he was going to lose his life or be thrown in jail or beaten or tortured. He didn't know what the consequence of that decision was going to be. But he knew this. It wasn't right. And he made up his mind that he wasn't going to do it. Now, we're living in a day and time in which increasingly we're going to be pressured by society, sometimes by the government, sometimes by employers, to do things or to go along with things or to agree with things that we know are not right. And we're going to have to be like Daniel. We can't just every day decide whether we're going to play along or not. We got to make up our minds that we are not going to disobey God. And whatever the consequences that fall out from that, we're going to have to be willing to accept those consequences. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be a Daniel. And we trust God and we believe in God that come what may, whatever life throws our way, that in the end, He's going to be there for us. And He's going to save us. And He's going to take care of us. And so what we need to do is to be as resolute as our faith in God that He is going to take care of us. We need to be resolute that we're going to be faithful to Him. That's what Daniel did. That's his example. And that's what that passage is about. It's about teaching us how to think about our service to God. Make up your mind. This is what you're going to do. Again, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2. The Lord says, if you do not listen, if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you and I will curse your blessings. This particular passage is in a context specifically in reference to the priests. The priests had an obligation. They had an obligation to uphold the name of the Lord, to honor Him, to honor and sanctify His service. And God is saying to those priests, He's saying, you better make up your mind that you're going to honor my name. Because if you dishonor my name, there's going to be a curse on you. Well, brethren, we are all priests in the service of God. As Christians, we are all priests. That's what the New Testament says, that we are a kingdom of priests. And we need to make up our minds and resolve that we're going to honor the name of the Lord. That when we go out there in the world and we represent the name of Jesus Christ, and I bear the name Christian, first part of the name Christian is Christ, that we're going to honor that name. We need to resolve that we're going to do that, because the consequence of not doing that is a curse. Luke chapter 21, verse 14. Jesus says to His disciples, He says, you just make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. Now that occurs in a context. Go and read that context with me in Luke. Jesus is talking about the trouble that's going to come their way and the things that they're going to suffer as a consequence of being proclaimers and witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And He says to them in Luke chapter 21, we'll start in verse 12. He says, but before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for you to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all on account of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish, and by your perseverance you will win your souls. Now I understand that that statement takes place in a context in which Jesus is talking to His immediate disciples and apostles, men who were to be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And this particular statement here in that context means, look, you don't even have to worry about what you're going to say because it'll be given to you what to say in that moment. And I'm not suggesting to you that you need to just, you know, you don't need to think about or study your Bibles because the Lord will somehow inspire you in a moment of tribulation or persecution. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is the first part of that. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about what's going to happen in that moment when they haul you into court or the pressure is put on you or you're persecuted. Don't you worry about that. You make up your mind that whatever happens, you're going to endure that. Because by your perseverance, you will win your souls. That's the part that I would like for all of us to think about. In the coming days and weeks and months and years of your life, whatever happens in this world, whatever the devil throws on us, that we're going to declare our faith in Jesus Christ. We need to be resolute. Make up our mind that that's what we're going to do. Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. This is when Barnabas came and visited the church in Antioch. And he encouraged them that with resolute heart, with resolve, to remain faithful and true to the Lord. That's what we all need to do. Make up our mind. Make up your mind what you're going to do. Romans 14, verse 13. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or sister. When it comes to our relationship together as Christians in the church, we need to make up our mind that we care. That we care about each other. And it matters to us whether our brother or sister is saved or lost. And that our behavior, when it comes to how it impacts the faith and the faithfulness of our brother and sister, that it matters, and it matters to me, and I care about my brother and sister and what happens to them, and I make up my mind that I want to be there for them, I want to encourage them and not discourage them, that I want to help them and not hurt them. And if I have to preclude certain rights or privileges, or I have to kind of rein myself in a little bit and maybe think a little bit more about their wants and needs and feelings than my own, then that's what I'm going to do because that's who I intend to be. Make up my mind. That's who I'm going to be. We need to do that. And if you don't do that, if you don't make up your mind that you're not going to put a stumbling block in the pathway of your brother or sister, chances are that's exactly what you're going to do. Don't do it. Make up your mind. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, when we give to the Lord, it needs to be a deliberative effort. It needs to be something where you think about it. It can't be just kind of a spur of the moment. You pull out your wallet and say, well, what do I have? What do I got this week? What did I end up with? It needs to be a little more thoughtful than that. Now, it's your choice. Nobody's going to make it for you. I'm not going to tell you how much to give. It's your choice. But it needs to be a choice that is thought out and made deliberately. Think about that, if you will. 1 Peter 1, verse 13, last passage. Therefore, preparing your minds for action. You know, you're not going to do anything for the Lord unless you plan it out, unless you intend to do it. Not likely that it's going to get on your agenda unless you put it there. Plan, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's a certain amount of planning, of thoughtfulness, of saying, you know what, I don't know, you read these articles all the time, and I think the internet's got my number. I think you see these ads pop up, and they must know the stage of life I'm in, because things have pop up about, you know, have you saved enough for retirement? Do you need Rogaine? What kind of help do you need for your back? You having back problems? Yes, I am. Well, that saving thing, you see these articles, and maybe it's just, you know, it's something that you think about later in your life, you think. that a whole generation of people have not set aside enough money for retirement. Well, you know, we trust in the Lord and things are going to be okay one way or the other. But with the Lord, you need to be thinking ahead about the day of judgment, about what you really put your hope in. And you need to be thinking about, what am I doing? What am I doing in the service of God? Am I setting my mind and my actions on achieving what I want to have happen in my life? And that is to be found at the end of my life in the presence of my God, standing there in judgment, and my Lord saying to me, well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's not going to happen by accident. That's not going to happen unless we have a plan of action. Make up your mind. Set your heart to be of service to God. In conclusion, brethren, a godly life does not happen by accident. We have to make up our minds to live it, and we have to be stubborn about pursuing it. You don't wake up every day and decide who you are. Make up your mind once and for all who you are and stick to it. And if you're here tonight and you want to make that decision once and for all, you want to decide, you know what, I want to be a servant of God. Make up your mind, that's what you want to do. The way that you begin is by a very deliberate action. You confess Jesus Christ, you turn in your heart away from sin, and you're baptized for the remission of your sins. And you say, for the rest of my life, to the end of my life, I'm going to be a servant of God. I'm going to seek His will, I'm going to learn His law, and I'm going to be His servant. Come what may, whatever the world or life throws my way, that's what I'm going to be. And if that's a decision you want to make tonight, come forward and sing with us this song, Jesus, Let Us Come to Know You, as we stand and sing.
Number 178, true worship. All three verses.
Oft we come together, oft we sing and pray. Here we bring our offering on this holy day. Help us, Lord, Thy love to see. May we all in truth and spirit worship Thee. We eat the
Lord's Supper has been prepared this evening for anyone who is not able to partake this morning. If you are willing so, please raise your hand as Brother King leads us in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're so grateful for this wonderful day you have blessed us with and the opportunity you've had to gather here, draw near to you, and learn more about you. We pray you'll be with those folks that are partaking of this bread this time, that their minds may be led back on Calvary, that they may take this loaf in a way that's acceptable to you, Lord. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.
About me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us today. As we are about to partake of the wine, that will be in remembrance of your Son's blood that he has shed on the cross for us. Please forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Does anyone this time wishes to give? So please raise your hand to the prayer.
Dear Lord, we're so grateful for the many blessings you bestow upon us. Help us always be mindful of how much we need you every hour, every day. Be with those that are giving at this time, that may give cheerfully, and help us to always do those things that honor you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Standing, we'll have a closing song.
Number 112 in the supplement, We Are One. We'll sing the first and fourth verse. In the body of the Lord, We are bound in unity, just as we are one with God. You are also part of me. We are one as we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in one mind with Him above. Thus we bear each other's loads till we rest with Him above. All together we can serve, joined in labor, faith, and love. We are one as we serve in truth and perfect love, all united in one mind with Him above. We led in a closing prayer.
Giver of all things in whom we live, we move, we have our very existence. We come